Indeed.
Thank you. Now, Friday means that it's time to talk to a boss. We give them a bit more time to talk about their sector. Business is not the first thing that may spring to mind when it comes to universities, but of course they are big business, and increasingly that is what they are becoming. Professor Alice Gast is president of Imperial College London. Before that, she was vice president for research at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and held senior posts at Stanford as well. There has been long criticism, Alice, that the UK doesn't have a Stanford or an MIT equivalent, in some way that we're falling behind. Are we in the UK?
No, we're not. Imperial is a leading university in science, engineering, medicine and business. It's one of the top in the world. And the world is changing. The world is full of businesses connecting globally and much more collaboration than before. I think Imperial really leads when it comes to collaboration and global links. And it's all the more exciting because of our opportunities in White City, where we can both shrink the time from fundamental discovery to social good, as well as shrink the distance between our corporate partners, our business partners and entrepreneurs and our academics.
When you say shrink the distance, what do you mean by that? At what point do you get involved with talking to businesses about what it is that you're doing? Or do they come to you and say, this is what it is we want you to do, and here's the money?
Well, some of our partners come to us and some we seek, of course. And at White City, we'll be able to have some of our partners housed on the very same campus, a campus you would build for a university in the 21st century, where entrepreneurs and business researchers can intermingle with academics and their fundamental research labs.
Is that what it's about, creating an environment in which ideas can thrive?
It is. It's about an innovation environment and an entrepreneurial environment. And I think that Imperial College is really a great place to do that. And I think actually the UK and London is a great place. Coming here relatively recently from the States, I see London and the UK as really rivaling the great centers. We have a university town here that rivals Boston. We have a financial center that rivals New York. And I think the entrepreneurial culture is growing to be like San Francisco.
What would you say the differences are, though, between the US and the UK when it comes to universities?
I think that certainly universities here have been well supported by the government, and the public awareness of higher education, I believe, is a bit higher here, thanks in part to the BBC that always has a banner about science and technology. And I think that that awareness and that understanding builds a great deal of responsibility, and universities seize that responsibility and think about the public good and the benefits of what they do.
We have a lot of women leaving the field, though, and I'm ashamed to say I'm one of them. I have a science degree. So how do we stop that happening?
Well, we lose most of the women in probably at about 8 years old. And so one thing that we're doing is extensive outreach efforts to primary and secondary schools, because we really need kids that are interested in science, and they are all naturally curious at that age. And then they somehow lose that interest through their primary and secondary education. In addition, if we give women opportunities, often they will seize them. And we have the Althea Imperial Prize, which is an entrepreneurial award for women. And we just launched it this autumn. And 70 women showed up to try out their inventions and their entrepreneurial prizes, which we will award next week. These are really exciting, because just having that mentorship and that opportunity to be an entrepreneur, one set of young women already won a prize on a Dragon's Den competition for their fungi.
So the scientists can have entrepreneurial skills,
yes,
too. Okay, we're finding that out. Let me ask you about some of the pressures of being academics. We imagine, I think, many of us, that academics sit in ivory towers and don't really have to deal with the commercial pressures of the world. You've shown us very clearly that that is not the case. But it's very worrying when you hear about those pressures leading to Imperial is not the only case, of course, but we know Professor Stefan Grimm took his own life at the end of last year. And that's a demonstration that these pressures can become, in the academic world, unbearable.
Professors are under pressures, and they have a lot on their plates. I see professors are really like small business owners. They have their own teaching to perform. They have their own research, and they have their research funding to look after. and they work with teams of postdocs and postgraduate students. And then some of them work on translational work and develop entrepreneurial and new companies and spin-outs. I think that it's a very highly competitive world out there. The collaborative nature and the way we're moving towards more and more highly collaborative work, I think, helps because one starts to recognize you can't do it all alone. You need a team. You build a team with the very best colleagues. And you have not only that interplay of the different backgrounds and disciplines, but you also get the new ideas that are generated by bringing a pool of diverse people together.
Alice, there we must leave it. Thank you very much indeed.
You can listen.